Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. But, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got a mighty hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss within the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show. Make sure to check us out at mwcconnection.com, at Twitter at mwcconnection. Same old to start the show, except no Christopher with us. It's just Jeremy Moss here hanging out. Chris had some other stuff going on, so we decided to get a show out for everybody and do it Sunday night and have it be more timely relevant and not Tuesday afternoon for a recap show or Monday night. So hopefully this should be less than our 55-minute jaunt since it's one person, not two. However, I do wish Chris were here because there are some interesting things I noticed watching Boise State and Fresno State Saturday evening, night, afternoon, evening, whatever you want to call it, late night, I guess, even here out west for that Fresno-Nevada game. But we're just going to kind of do the normal format, jump into games. At the end, we'll kind of discuss the BCS stuff, which kind of ties in anyway since Fresno-Nevada is the last game. But first game of the books. Of the week, I should say. Air Force, 42. Army, 28. This is, hey, good job, Falcons. You get your first FBS win of the year. They defeated the rival pretty handily, but it was close to start off. But I mean, here's all, if you didn't watch the game, it was a 10 a.m. local kick, so I don't know how awake everybody was who was actually even playing the game. But the one name we need to know is Anthony Lacoste for Air Force. Not too bad of a day. Just ran for 263 yards, 3 touchdowns, 11-yard average per carry, and had 2 runs over 70 yards. Not too bad. He came out of nowhere. A lot of people thought, I guess, Broham Hart didn't play all that much, as he was kind of the starter throughout, but Senior Lacoste, this is the most yards he's had in this one game. Heading into this game, outside of the season, he's only didn't even have 200 yards rushing. He broke his career high. Any record he had previously had, he broke. He did have 100 yards a couple weeks ago against San Diego State, but this was his best game by far, and they found something in that Army defense and just took advantage of it. And they, I don't know what it was, but every time he touched the ball, it seemed like it was a breaking off a big play. Even if you take away, yeah, it's 150 yards on those 2 carries. If you think about it, it still puts him at 110 on 20 carries. That's still almost 5 yards a carry. So even without those 2 big runs, huge day. But the big concern, Air Force, they got their second one. Good for them, 2-7. No bowl game. We already talked about that. But the big thing we talked about in our preview show, this is kind of the game for the future. Air Force is planning for next year and the year after that. And the starting quarterback was the issue, and it was between the freshman Nate Romine and Carson Roberts. And it was Nate Romine who got the start. Roberts did not make did not appear at all. And Romine did find 111 yards, 31 on the ground, 1 TD on the ground. And it's, yeah, that's this game. It was close in the first half. Since it's so early, I watched the majority of games. I did get some notes last week. You guys don't even watch all these games. Well, excuse me, we have 5 or 6 games, and we can't sit and watch 14 hours of football the entire day. But the main thing besides the cost doing that, Air Force offense and defense did well, too. Yeah, the defense did give up 308 yards, but they didn't give up any anything too big. They gave about 4 yards of carry, but they stepped up big. They stopped Army on a couple fourth down conversions, forced them to punt late in the game when they needed, when Army needed to make a move. But Air Force pretty much in the third quarter on, or the actually the end of the second half, second quarter, I should say, not second half, Nate Roman got his 1 yard touchdown. Air Force got the ball back and just went down the field with under 2 minutes and scored quickly. And of course, who else would set up the run? But there was a, I believe it was 40, a nice run by the cost, about 40 so yards or so yards where, hey, there's 2 minutes left. Everybody assumed, oh, they're just going to run it. They're not going to maybe try a deep pass and see what happens. But no. Well, they actually, no, I shouldn't say no. I said, yes, they did try to run the ball. I don't think they're trying to really score. But when the cost busted out a 43-yard run on the first carry, and then Romine passes almost nearly 20 yards to the three, yeah, you're going to run it and score. And that touchdown gave him a, put him with, geez, if I could speak by myself, it's not too simple going one man solo tonight. So I'm trying to sneak everything in here. But that score tied at 21 at the half. Then Air Force went off to score. The only touchdown in the third quarter, the first score in the fourth quarter. So 35-21. Army did make that comeback, 35-28. Like I said, Army had to go for it on fourth down after Air Force went up again. Their Army went for it on fourth down, dropped, couldn't do it. They went 5 of 13, 1 for 3 on fourth down. They did get one turnover forced for Air Force. So they, not that this was a great game, but heck, they scored 42 points, second win of the year, first FBS win of the year, and they beat the rivals. So the Commander-in-Chief trophy will go back to Navy. Even if Army wins, because it's a three-way tie, goes back. So there's not a way Navy could outright get this again. So they kind of just hang on to that. So I guess the big thing is, too bad the cost is not coming back next year. And I don't know what it was. There was good blocking. He made plays down the field. He just tore it up. And three runs essentially netted him 200 yards, which is pretty awesome. And Air Force, they are, got their FBS win and beat a three and not a good Army team, but heck, it's the rival. They got the win, and Nate Romine is the quarterback of the future. So let's move on. Utah State and Hawaii. Oh, man. If you're keeping tabs on Hawaii's travel plans, good luck, because they were stuck in LAX. Well, let's back up even further. This trip, they're staying in the mainland for the whole 2 weeks, because they play Navy the week after, or actually week 11, a week from today, or a week from yesterday. So they're taking a whole 10-day road trip into states. They go to LAX. Everybody heard about the shooting there in LAX. They had to evacuate the airport, and that was part of Hawaii's terminal. But that wasn't the only thing. That's just an inconvenience. It's a big issue for people who get injured and everything, but it affected Hawaii's travel plans. But then the charter plane that was supposed to take them was grounded in Arizona. So after it's all said and done, they didn't leave LAX till probably about 10 p.m. Pacific. They got into Logan, Utah about almost 3 a.m., 2:35. There's photos of them getting off the bus. And that's also after an hour drive from flying into Ogden, Utah, and taking their bus to Logan. So not that it showed, but when he was 47-10, it kind of showed they didn't have a good game. And if Chris is here, he would I would point out that they didn't. Hawaii didn't do the quadrant quarterback system. They did have four players attempt to throw because tight end Clark Evans made a throw, but they did go with three quarterbacks, Sean Schroeder, Taylor Graham, and Aikiki Woosley, and he would make fun of me for saying that. But Woosley really only had one attempt for 2 yards on the passing. But this Utah State team, had Colorado State beat Boise State, they would have a good chance to, well, they would be in running with one loss in the Mountain Division. So those Boise State trips up, they're not going to go to the title game, but Daryl Gerritsen played extremely well, 370 yards, three touchdowns. Joey DiMartino had 100 yards on the ground, but the main thing was, geez, Travis Reynolds had 152 in the air. But this game could have been even worse because, well, Utah State got stopped multiple times where they decided to go for it and they had to kick field goals instead. They kicked three field goals, I believe they kick, if I got this correct. Four field goals. The 52-yarder, okay, that's explainable because, heck, they're not in range. But they got stopped fourth and short yardage where they had to kick a field goal. Nothing too long, but when you're kicking, let's see here, they have nothing too long, but 44-yard, well, that's a touchdown pass, but 40-yard field goal, 32-yard field goal. It's like, come on, you want to get the points. They could have, yeah, they won by 37, but two of those could have been touchdowns, could have given another eight more points, put them above 50. But then the big play of the game was, the game was already in hand, but Kyler Frackle, one of the main linebackers, had a 99-yard interception return for a touchdown off of Sean Schroeder. And Schroeder, for Y fans, sorry, three picks. Did throw a touchdown, 200 yards, but Utah State team looked good because Garrettson looks to be, this is his first home start. Last week after starting against New Mexico on the road, they won, I think it was 45-10. He's the guy. Whatever happens to Chucky Keaton, hopefully he'll be back either this year or next year. This guy will be just fine. He's not same as Chucky where he won't run as much because he did run for 22 yards, had a long of 15, but he's not like Keaton where not as athletic type, but he almost throwing for 400 yards in your second career start. Yes, it is against Hawaii, but still, you're a freshman, you do that. It's, heck, man, that's what you got to do. And then, actually, he got some help from defense. Like I said, the Frackle TD return for off the interception. They did have two other picks in the game. And there's not much to say, but Hawaii, after the one loss to, where they not gave up, but versus BYU, where they just kind of were out of it because lost Keaton mid-game, team's not really taking a step back. And it'll be hard to tell because New Mexico hasn't been all that great. Hawaii's nothing. Hawaii has not won yet this year. They play next week at UNLV, which after this week, who knows what they're going to be. CSU could be a challenger. Wyoming throws the ball a lot. So we'll kind of see how they do going down the finishing of the rest of the season. But heck, man, a huge 37-point win. They are still one game away from being bowl eligible, 4-1 in the Mountain Division. So somehow Boise slips up to, I think Boise still plays Wyoming this year. So somehow, if Boise loses at all and Utah State wins out, San Diego State's look good. Wyoming's look decent at times. So there is a possibility with this Boise team not being the best that Utah State could be in the title game, which, heck, that'd be good. Well, I keep saying heck a lot for some reason. I don't know what's up with that. But they'd make some noise or have a chance to be in that title game. And versus Fresno State, we kind of saw what they did, but they played Hawaii. They did what they did. They covered the spread quite easily. And let's move on. We're just going to talk about games. No more bantering back and forth, Chris and I, about what we see looking down the road. I don't want this to be a super long show. So let's move on to the San Jose State versus UNLV. UNLV lost the game, or I don't know, should I say San Jose State won, perhaps, because David Fells looked pretty good. 34-24. And folks, yes, the internet stream from Campus Insiders worked well. Small glitch on audio, but we got that taken care of, I think, midway through the second quarter or first quarter, some part of the game. But it worked well. No crashing, worked fine. So thanks for them for letting us broadcast the game. We'll have at least one more football game and probably some hoops and some other stuff down the road. But this game, San Jose State should have blown them out. They only won by 10 points. They were up 14-0, 24-3 at the half. David Fells, actually, I take that back. I thought he did better. I was watching back and forth, watching on the computer. They're watching on TV for Utah State Hawaii. It's kind of hard to go back and forth with no sound. Context was hard to come by at some point. But actually, this is David Fells' worst game of the year. And so them still winning by how they did and nearly blowing them out, which they started to at the first half. This is, he only had 150 yards, had the ball picked off twice, but they were saved by the new man. Who's this running back here? Jared Lawson. Again, the sound did not help me. Freshman Jared Lawson had a career back-to-back. He looks to be the running back receiver. He had 187 yards. This is his third straight game of over 100 yards of, well, no. Man, 98 yards is close enough, but geez, I'm looking at his past couple games. I should be following him a bit more. He could be a reason why they're doing so well. He barely played in game one, didn't play in game two or game three. Then against Hawaii, he showed up. So his last four, he's averaging over 100 yards on the ground the past four games easily. And then even at 104 yards against Colorado State through the air, albeit a 83-yard pass was part of that. But still, San Jose State's been having terrible luck on rushing the ball. They even had a pretty good running attack from a freshman wide receiver. I guess he had the one run, Thomas Tucker, that had almost 100 yard rushing. Had a couple of those end arounds or a few more than that, about 8 attempts. But man, I was watching one play in this game killed me. I'm watching San Jose State. David Fells is having time to throw the ball. He threw a terrible underthrown ball. The UNLV, and give credit, I don't know what San Jose State receiver caught the ball. I think it would have been, I'm not sure if it would have been Chandler Jones or Kyle Noon, one of the two guys, but they had to make a play to get a badly underthrown ball at the back of the end zone. The UNLV guys just face guarded the San Jose State receiver. If he would have just turned around, he could have just either picked it off, and the way it was, the San Jose State guy had to curve around to catch the ball in the end zone, kind of like a, obviously like a curl. If UNLV guy looked around, he could have knocked it down easily, or if he'd have been guarding over his shoulder, if it would have been still thrown to him, picked in, who knows what would have happened. But I think Tim Cornette went out with the injury. I should have looked it up. I know during the game he was out for a while. That's probably what happened. But it looked like at the half that San Jose State was just going to crush, just kind of roll over UNLV. But then second, third quarter, San Jose State defense, which has been known to not be all that great in the running game, or not even that great overall. Caleb Herring did all right, 3 for 265, about a couple picks. UNLV came out and scored 2 straight touchdowns, made it a 24-17 game. But then Thomas Tucker, the wide receiver, had his 37-yard touchdown run. I think it was an end around, I believe. I don't remember what happened at this point in the game. It was getting pretty hairy. They went ahead and pretty much went up for good. But then they scored again and blah, blah, blah. This is annoying, going play by play. UNLV got another touchdown, but then they couldn't do anything with it. In the game, with 8 minutes left, San Jose ended up scoring kicking a field goal to win by 10. I'm looking for the injury here, if I can find out. And see, this is even more difficult with one person if I'm trying to look up something, because I remember him leaving, and I meant to look it up to see, hey, there's no Tim Cornette in the game. They are having Murray Lawrence, Shaquille Murray Lawrence, run the ball quite a bit. Or they're having, well, not even him, they're having Caleb Herring run it 14 times. Well, maybe I'll... If I was a genius, Chris would have smacked me in the face and say, dude, you're looking at the wrong stat. Tim Cornette had two receptions for no yards. He did run the ball 12 times, but I still think he left the game. He had 24 yards because they were throwing the ball like crazy. I don't know why they didn't try to run more. Even Herring run the ball 14 times, which is weird since he's not really known to be a runner. He did get 55, but we see in San Jose State's rushing defense be pretty, I was going to say bad, it's been outright bad. We've seen times where, yeah, they'd give up yards after yards after yards. And obviously this title to the Las Vegas Sun makes sense in any aspect. Rebels blame themselves for blown opportunities and losses to San Jose State. Well, yeah, if that's anything, you're down 21 points. If the game was even or within 10 points, UNLV could have came out, and that just kind of, I don't know what that just title just makes me laugh, because you think, if you're not losing by 21 points, you'll have a chance. UNLV still looking to get bowl eligible. They're 5-4. They could still get one more. Well, they have chances to get one more win down the road. Let's see here. Oh, this is a nice comment by Frank Crawford, their senior safety for UNLV. Quote, I was surprised that they were so successful in the running game. And Hawk, they ran the ball down on the throat. Well, I'm kind of surprised by that too, but I guess it's the simplicity of it that makes it sound where it's, look what they did. So that's about it for that game. Because look at both teams are at five wins now. If you kind of look ahead, San Jose State, I think they'll get a bowl game because they play Navy. They go to Nevada and they host San Diego State. So I don't know if they'll beat the Aztecs, but I think they can maybe get a win over Navy. It's a Friday night game, the week before Thanksgiving. So they might be able to pull that out. And then if we look at UNLV, they're still stuck at 5 wins for the second straight week. Or no, they beat Nevada 2 weeks ago. So no, they're still at 5-4. They got Utah State, looks very good. Air Force, if they play like they did today, they might not beat Air Force. So I think they'll get to 6. I think they'll beat Air Force and go to a bowl game, which is good for them, good for the league. First time since 2000, the Rebels of UNLV have gone to a bowl game. So I guess we'll say go Rebels. We'll do that. I know this show is so exciting. I'm trying to keep it lively. Do what I can to make it sound better than, let's read off some stats and what happens. Next game. I will be forewarned. I'll let you know before. I did not see 1 second of this game, so I'm not going to go into too much detail of guessing what happened. But San Diego State narrowly defeated New Mexico 35-30 in this game. San Diego State's getting on track for a bowl game, 4-4 after their horrendous start. And Good thing I look at the box score right now. Adam Wimmer sighting. I'm assuming that ankle is pretty much back to what it should be since it's the second straight game of 100 yards, three of the past four. He just rattled off 233 yards, three touchdowns, a long of 57. Not a bad day. They did not get Donald Pumphrey involved too much. Well, why would you if Moema's getting 9 yards a pop every time he touches the ball? Quinn Kaler, very accurate, 16 for 21. And the New Mexico defense, I say it every week in my preview or if we talk about it, if you stopped up the middle run or the dive, you'll be able to beat New Mexico rushing game. Rushing game, they did get 253, which is pretty good, but not to New Mexico standard. Carrier had 72, Gongbe had 64, Gauchi 54, and Terry Gibson had 45. So they had a good average 6.5 a carry just about. However, they just couldn't get it done. They were minus one in turnover margin, and this looks like I kind of look at the score. I remember seeing 21-10 at the third quarter because there's no points in the second quarter. San Diego State's going to blow them out or take care of business easily. But it went back and forth, ended up being a 35-30 game, and it just San Diego State had a bit more in the tank than New Mexico did, and the turnover hurt them. They did okay on third downs, 50%. Everything's pretty much even. Let me see when that turnover was so I can give everybody a known factor if that was actually a big key because it's a 5-point game. That one turnover most likely hurt them there. So the turnover came. No, it did not because it came at the end of the second quarter. So this is just a thing. San Diego State got off to a good start. Mexico couldn't keep up after that. And they didn't have any breakout stars. Carrier did average 7 yards a carry, but on one of those was a 37-yarder. Like Chris and I always say, take away that long run if it's over 30 or so and see what you got. And he didn't get much. And it's New Mexico. Hey, here's what we should be proud of maybe. Cole Gauchy did have 101 yards passing, but it was 6 of 16. And there was a Clayton Mitchum sighting who did much better throwing, 4-4 for 69 and TD. So New Mexico didn't play bad, but they didn't really play good, really. So. And I think this is like we kind of mentioned, finally, Aztecs finally have the team that we thought they would early in the year. They've won 4 or 5, had chances to beat Fresno State, and they're going to a bowl game. They're 4 games. They got to beat, I'm pretty sure they can most likely beat they'll beat Hawaii. They'll probably beat UNLV. So they're going to the bowl game. They're not going to win out, but that Boise State game could be interesting. And like I said before, it could open up a Utah State, Fresno State title game. Which, if Darryl Garrettson can throw it like he did against Hawaii, which anybody can, just so you know, he might have a chance at Fresno game if it gets that far. But we're still looking 4 or 5 weeks ahead. So congrats to San Diego State to stepping it up and playing well. And I apologize for those who wanted me to watch the game and know more about it, but I did not. So I took a quick look at the box score, and bam, Moema did great, and New Mexico did just enough. Next game, we got 2 games left. This will be probably our fastest show. I'm at 22 minutes, and I apologize if I'm talking too fast because I know I do that time to time. So if this sounds like a motorboat or that machine, what was that, micro machine guy, I know I do that sometimes. So I'm by myself, I'm just chatter, because if I wasn't, you would hear this. Nothing. So let's move on. I was hoping this game, Boise State versus CSU, was going to be a different game. It was much different than 2 years ago when Boise State rattled off 35 straight points in the midway through the second quarter, won by 50. This is much closer. 42-30, Boise State earned the win and most likely clinched the Mountain Division, or is in the front run. If they went out, they're good to go. We discussed that enough, so no need to delve further in that. But here's the thing. CSU went up 10-0 early on, and it looked like, oh, geez, this is going to be a good game. But then Boise State stepped up their game. They scored 4 of the next 5 touchdowns. CSU got one in there to go up 28-17 at the half. Third quarter, same thing. Well, no, actually, it's a bigger description to that. Let me count the touchdowns here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boise State scored 6 of the next 7 touchdowns. 4 in the second, 1 in the third, 1 in the fourth, end of the first to go up 42-17. I'm getting everybody mixed up. CSU did make a comeback, but here's the thing I noticed in this game. Grant Hendrick can throw the ball pretty good, much better. I think that BYU defense is just that much better, which is not stating the obvious, but CSU has improved with Corey James and Shaquille Barrett, or Shaq Barrett, making plays. Barrett was all over the field getting tackles for loss, sacks, and everything the imaginable defender does. So is Corey James. But what I noticed about, I think I figured out why Boise State was able to hang around with, well, I'll get to that in a minute. But what I noticed here is that Boise State, or Colorado State, likes to go for a fourth down. They went seven times, completed four of them. And that's good and all. I guess that's the reason they were able to hang close. But like looking at the first drive, they're able to move the ball and mix it up. And Boise State, again, I was watching for the missed tackles because Boise State had a ton against BYU. I saw a lot of that again. Yeah, Capri Bibbs is a good running back. They got Christian Woke and Donald Alexander, all good backs, two of the three above average, depending on the day for Christian Woke, how good he's going to be or not. But they went with big sets, and Boise State, again, could not tackle, had issues for tackling. And then also the first play of the scrimmage, reason Colorado State was able to go up 10-0 was Grant Hendrick fumbled the ball, covered by CSU. They score a few plays later. That's how they got to that early lead, and Boise State kind of woke up, started moving the ball very well, but I was watching a lot for that tackle, and they couldn't tackle very well. They were kind of getting to Hendrick a little bit here and there with like I said, probably James or Barrett, most likely. That's kind of watching most of this here and there. But it just kind of came down to Boise just like flexed their muscle. All right, we're Boise State. We're just going to beat Colorado State. And Gary Grayson, I know our guy Ian doesn't like him at all. He was on the other side of the world. I forget. I don't know. I think it's classified where he's at, but I know he's not a Gary Grayson friend or BHS Marine. It's his handle. And Grayson, he's stepped up. He almost threw 400 yards, which is kind of out of necessity when you're trailing and headed into the fourth quarter, or even into the third quarter, 35-17. You're gonna throw a lot. They did get the tight end involved, and also Charles Lovett. They kind of did that two tight end set a little bit to see what they could do against Boise State. CSU looked, they didn't look bad because they lose by 12 points. They 14 of the points were not, well, 13 actually. They missed a 2-point conversion, but they're not garbage touchdowns. But they made an attempt. They did make Boise State have to work for what they're doing because Jay only had 91 yards. There was a Geraldo Baldwin sighting who had 66 yards in the air. But it seemed like Matt Miller was just making plays when they were throwing the ball to him on his side of the field. He's getting those for key first downs. And when you also go 9 for 20 on third downs, yet they made up 4 on fourth and 7, 4 of 7 on fourth downs. But here's the thing. CSU did outgame Boise by 626 to 437, passing Colorado State's favor by almost 100 yards, even though Grayson probably is completion percentage. Whatever QBR is, I don't follow those ESPN made-up stats, but it's 37.8, which I don't think is good because Grant Hendrick had 95.8. But when he turned the ball over twice, but I think both, if I recall, both teams scored 7 points off each of those. It was a wash, but it just came out to be deep, big passes. Like the Shane Williams Roberts Rhodes pass was a 68 yarder from Hendrick for a touchdown, 42 yard to Aaron Burke. So they had two big plays that really killed Colorado State in this game. Because who knows what Boise would have done? You lose by 12, you give up 14 points on two plays really that are over 40 yards, and even the 20 yard pass is not big a deal, but still a decent chunk of play, just chunk size of play. But with the loss, I don't know, we're getting close to game. I don't think CSU is going to make a bowl game. They need 7. So that means they'd have to win 3 of the next 4. And let's take a quick look because we're done with the game. I will say this for CSU. They gave good effort, played well enough to win at times. But again, those two big plays pretty much hurt them. And too many fourth downs. Yeah, 4 for 7, but come on. Punt it every now and then. But interesting, they host Nevada, which I could see them winning. They go to New Mexico, they could win. Utah State will be very interesting. Here's the thing. It won't surprise me if they win out. I don't think they will win out because they need to go get the rest of the... No, they don't need to win the rest. They need 3 or 4. But just because they played that extra game at Hawaii, I could see them finishing 8-5, but I don't see them finishing 8-5. If I would give them any wins, I'd give them Air Force and at New Mexico. Utah State, I don't know, on the road. If they played like the game against Boise State where I saw they could make some plays, they could beat Utah State. But I think they'll come up I want to see them versus... Because Nevada, I'm only confident in New Mexico and Air Force. Nevada, they can put up points, but then they can just not put up points. It's kind of an oxymoron or kind of discerning two ends of the scale there, saying Nevada can put up 60 or put up 10. I would like to see CSU in a bowl game because that'd be pretty cool for them to get back after struggling, and maybe they're back toward the Sunny Lubick days from the late 90s, early 2000s with Bradley Van Pelt, who was inducted to their Hall of Fame recently, or actually on Saturday. He basically reminds me of the character from Remember the Titans, what they call him, Sunshine, the dude with long blonde hair. Kind of looks like that guy. So, and I remember him throwing the football off a Colorado guy's face mask after scoring a touchdown. That was pretty awesome. But bowl game, I'll lean toward yes, but we'll see when they play Nevada next week. Final game of the week, and this show could be under 35 minutes. That's amazing when you're one person talking and not jabbering back and forth about whatever. Which usually makes not a bad thing, but I'm pretty sure not everybody wants a full hour podcast every time. But one person, half the talking, so if it was two of us, we'd be going for an hour. Last game of the day. I actually watched this Sunday morning because it's kind of late after watching a lot of football. Nevada versus Fresno State. Fresno State 41, Nevada 23. Closer, the final score is deceiving because Fresno State finally tuned it up and scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. Here's the thing I was going to mention during the Boise-CSU game, but it actually reflects to this more. Fresno State goes for it on fourth down way too many times. They went 1-for-4 and almost 5 until they realized, let's do one of those pooch kicks and back up Derek Carr 3 steps and kick it. They gave up at least, if I recall, 8 points on the board for, well, no, excuse me, 6 points for a couple field goals. I'm going to look that up really quick, but the reason Fresno State and Boise, that's why I wanted Chris on here to have him talk about this as well, since he's more of a Boise, pays more attention to them than I do a little bit. If Fresno State had any sort of a rushing game, they would smoke Boise State. And I'm not kidding, because the way Boise State has struggled to tackle anybody, that if they had a running game at all, Fresno State, I'm saying, they would roll Boise off the field. Who knows, maybe they will pick up a running game before the season ends if they meet in the title game. Not likely. Josh Quezada did okay in this game. Let's kind of see exactly what they did here. No, actually did good. I'm thinking of the other guy, Martez Waller, 45 yards. Josh Quezada had 115 on the ground. No huge run there, long of 19. But if those guys can actually step up when they play, if they play Boise State in the title game, they will just roll Boise because Boise has issues tackling anybody, and that's, you know, the sport's called tackle football. You got to actually tackle somebody for Boise State. But back to this game here. But Fresno turned it over on downs multiple times, going for it on fourth down four times. They did make one. But when they're playing, I was kind of thinking, why would they go for it so many times? Because people were like David Pollock today in the BCS countdown saying, kind of giving telling the voters of the Harris and Coach's Bowl, vote Fresno State and Northern Illinois accordingly, which means vote them down because they're playing nobody. And I think I get his point. Schedules aren't the best. We'll get in that in a minute with the BCS stuff. We'll go over those ratings and the bowl scenarios we have for this week. But I think they decided to go for it because they figured, oh, we'll just win anyways. It doesn't matter. Well, it kind of does matter. Yeah, I don't think too many people stayed up late to watch this game. 41-23 is a pretty decisive win. But if they could have kick two more field goals or something, or punt it and force them deep and not let Nevada get short field and get some points up that way. Not that 47-23 looks any better, but you win by over 20 points. They didn't cover by winning by 18. I just think they are just kind of shooting at the hip with Dave Schramm, the coordinator. He's also, I don't know the difference it makes, but I've heard people say he's coaching from the sideline and calling plays, and that can make a difference because you don't get that bird eyes view from the press box up high to kind of see what the defense is giving you. And it's just, I'm just thinking, you can't go for it every time. They did rack up 650 yards just about. Derek Carr threw for 47. I'm not complaining about the actual performance. They turned the ball over once, but when you have a quarterback throw for 47 and 3 touchdowns, a running back over 100 yards, Josh Harper, who had his best game ever, 253 yards and 2 touchdowns, you would think you'd win by more than 18 points. But that wasn't the case. They did kick 2 field goals, but still, I'm watching this. I don't know. People, they need to start blowing people out to convince people that they're worthy if they're going to play Baylor, but not to go in the BCS stuff yet, but to finish this game here. Nevada, Cody Fajardo was stifled a little bit. he did good. He had 300 yards total on the ground. They just couldn't keep pace because they should have, with the amount of fourth down conversions that Fresno went for and didn't get, you would think that they would be able to, Nevada would be able to take advantage, but that wasn't always the case. They struggled to move the ball at times because I was wondering, watching Fajardo run the ball. I'm like, oh, he's getting 4 yards here, a couple here. And I'm wondering, I was thinking to myself, I bet when I look at the stat sheet, he'll have almost 100 yards, but watching the game, nothing impressive. I remember he had about a 15-yarder. He did have that 47-yarder, which is half the yard, so that's probably where I'm correct in thinking that. But he only threw for 206, and this is even in the Fresno team. Man, their secondary is beat up. LJ Jones, and there was a Deron Smith side, I should say. He did have a nice 40-pick, an interception, which nearly took it back to the house. I think he stumbled to the 3-yard line. He made it maybe 5. He made it pretty nearly all the way back. I remember him kind of stumbled after trying to make some moves in the game, but this was a game Nevada, they had more time possession. They penalties crappy for both teams, but Nevada's couldn't get anything going. It kind of seemed like every time they made a play or two, oh, let's kind of stop and not really go for it, because not that we're going for it, but it kind of seemed they just couldn't. Nevada, Fresno makes it so easy at times. They get the big plays of Josh Harper, Devontae Adams, whereas there was a few to Brendan Wimbler, that big Fajardo 47-yard run. But here's where it kind of finished. Not that the game finished for him, but it seemed like it's over because it's 24-7 at the half. Nevada rushing touchdown. This is their drive of the game. Rushing TD, punt, punt, interception, punt, punt. End of the half. After the touchdown in the first quarter where they went seven, the first drive of the game, 7 plays, 81 yards, they ended up having only 53 yards of total offense in the first half. And that also includes that interception, which, yeah, they threw nearly returned all the way. Or not all the way, that was a short interception. Whatever it was, interception they had. But they, as well as they did come back in the second, third quarter, score the first 9 points to get back in this game to make it look reasonable, 24-16, but on a field goal and touchdown. And a 33-yard field goal, it's like, come on, you're down by that many points. You got to put the ball, I don't know, down a distance without looking it up and wasting more people's time here, but I'm just trying to make out what Fresno State wants to be, because we'll just kind of move on, because that's kind of how the game went on. Nevada did okay, but they just couldn't keep pace. It was that second, after that, like basically like I said, after the first quarter, or not the first quarter, the first drive in the first quarter, Fresno pretty much pulled away under defense. Defense actually played well, which is against this Nevada attack, even though their record doesn't show it at being 3-6. They have a potent attack, and that's why I was kind of hesitant with that CSU Nevada tilt. If who's going to win, if CSU can get that bowl game. But people are saying, like, we're transitioning to the BCS stuff, that they're not, Fresno State hasn't played its schedule, which, duh, everybody knows their schedule isn't great. Their best win, they, I don't know what their best win is, that 52-51 over Rutgers. They don't really have a great win. They haven't been beating people by a lot. They nearly lost to Hawaii. Could have lost to Hawaii. San Diego State, if that fumble to touchdown and a couple of missed field goals by the Aztecs could give Fresno State loss. But they are sitting at number 16 in the BCS. Northern Illinois actually dropped to number 18. A computer ratings I thought would have gone up for Fresno, they actually dropped a little bit by a couple tenths. They're still in position. If they went out, they're going to BCS bowl game. That's, I don't think that's anybody's doubt. Unless, well, NIU, Northern Illinois, does have a few better games on the stretch where they do play Ball State. If I'm correct there, Ball State's sitting at 8-2 and undefeated in MAC play. And that actually might be coming up in that game. Let's take a look here and see. 8-1 Ball State, 5-0 in conference. Northern Illinois, they do have Ball State. They could play a good Buffalo team at the other end of in the MAC title game. Yeah, that game is Wednesday, November 13th. So when Ball State plays at Northern Illinois, that will be one to watch on Wednesday night. MACtion, because MACtion is beginning this week. Wednesday night games, Tuesday night games. So I don't know. They're 16. The computer ratings, they moved up one spot in the coaches' poll, which is helpful for them. Where Central Florida, but Northern Illinois did not. But Fresno State, they dropped a little bit in computer rankings. I thought they would have gained a little bit, but I guess not. But it's people like David Pluck saying, oh, the schedule is terrible. They haven't played him. But well, we know. And he's like, vote them down. It's like, are you the smartest guy in the world? There's about 100 voters between the two polls. Are you really going to say that you're the smartest guy and they're all dumb just because they're winning? Yeah, they may not be ranked high as they should be, but I like Baylor a lot, but they haven't played anybody. Why are they number 6 in the country? Yeah, because they're blowing people out. Look at Alabama. Yes, they're number 1. We know they're very good, but Colorado State could be their best non-conference win. They haven't really played. They do play LSU. They will play some good opponents. They did beat Texas A&M. But overall, when they're nitpicking between Florida State and Oregon, it's like, come on, look at Alabama. They're number 1, but look at their schedule. But, of course, they play in the sacred SEC, so it doesn't matter where they're who they're playing or what they're doing. But Fresno State, their margin, like Kristen went over a little bit, because like, if it gets to the thousands, that's when you're close. But this, they're right now, they got a team in between them because Michigan State beat Michigan. So it's basically, here's what it comes down to. It's 0.3675 Fresno, 0.3169, which is a pretty big gap. And Fresno's not going to move up anytime soon unless teams lose, because A&M is almost a full tenth ahead of them, as is Oklahoma State and LSU. And unless teams start losing, like if Alabama beats LSU, that could help Fresno move up. A&M plays Missouri and whoever. Missouri is number 8 in the BCS standing, folks. Here's what's funny about scheduling. Kind of computer rankings taking the strength of schedule quite a bit. Fresno State's at 0.36. Texas A&M is 0.25. LSU's 0.26. Oklahoma State's 0.26. So you're telling me, and Baylor, who people say they played nobody's 0.660. Not that it's only taking into consideration schedule. It does a lot more than that in those computer formulas. But it does take into consideration there, and yeah, that's kind of where I'm getting at there. It's not, they're ranked lower than those teams that are higher. Not that Fresno's better, but you get my drift. If they include strength SOS, then why is Baylor perceived to play crappy, have a better computer rating than A&M or Fresno, barely better than Fresno, better than Michigan State? And then there's Louisville, who's 0-0-0. And basically, to get a BCS bowl bid, you got to be 16 or above of any other other automatic qualifying league. And right now, UCF leads the American, even though Louisville is higher at one spot 20. UCF's 21. As long as Fresno stays ahead of UCF and UCF doesn't get to... Well, it doesn't matter. As long as UCF doesn't jump them, Fresno could be as low as 16. Even though I think Houston's the best American team. And we'll see when Houston still has to play both Louisville and UCF how it goes. But I already know me and Chris discussed the moment going and say this is not the same Hawaii team in 07 that made it. People don't realize that same Hawaii team. I'll do some look in the F plus ranking to kind of go back as far as I can to compare them to other BCS teams that made it outside of the qualifying leagues. Like, I know this is not as good as the Boise teams a couple years ago, or even Utah or TCU, but I still think they're much better than that stinking Hawaii team, because the Fresno defense actually showed up this week at times, knocked a few balls down, got the interception by Daron Smith. But they're sitting pretty big. If they win, they're in. That's all it takes. And I'm wondering how much that Colorado postponement or not cancellation is going to cost them, because had they beat CU, they probably could have won by 3 touchdowns. They might be one spot higher in the poll. I don't think it'd be significant. I think the significance would be that they'd have a bigger cushion between them and NIU. But then again, the cushion really is just having a 0 on the right side of that, of your schedule, of your record there. So that's kind of all I got tonight. Oh, bowl stuff. Look, oh, this is going quite longer than I thought it would be. Really quick, bowl projections. I don't know. I didn't do my preview like I meant to last week, where I will have it written down. But we do have a bowl projection written up here over by our guy friend Matthew K, or good Twitter handle, Matt of Action. Put up his predictions, kind of who's going bowling and where. He actually, Fresno guy, let it be known, does not have Fresno in a BCS game. He has Fresno playing Arizona State and Las Vegas Bowl. Point City taking Boise State in his Utah. And then stepping ahead of myself. Poinsettia, Boise State versus Ohio. Interesting. I wonder if the Idaho Bowl would try to get Boise instead. They haven't been home in a while. There could be some trading going on since Vegas gets the first pick. Armed Forces, Utah State versus Navy. This could be interesting. Mexico Bowl, San Jose State versus Washington. Then he has UNLV versus Rice in Hawaii. San Diego State versus Buffalo in the Idaho Potato Bowl, which could be a pretty good matchup because Buffalo is not all that bad. Take note, no Colorado State in the bowl scenario there. He has them on all 6, but if you go to like Jerry Palm, everybody else says like Fresno either versus Actually, no. Fresno versus Oklahoma State or Fresno versus Baylor. But then you got Brad Edwards of ESPN says Fresno versus USC in the Las Vegas Bowl. Pretty much everybody's UNLV. I guess Wyoming and CSU are the teams not in. Colorado State's on the fringe. Or no, excuse me. They're not on the fringe. I'm thinking of UNLV is on the fringe of here or there. So it's kind of what we got in the bowl projections. I just think that's towards the BCS. I'm like, if they're going to play Baylor, Baylor's not showing a little bit of defense. But I'd be if they play Oklahoma State, I think Fresno could easily beat Oklahoma State. But if they play Baylor, that would be, like we said, that would be pretty exciting because the Baylor-Oregon line was 99, over under 99. But we'll see. That's all I got for tonight. Hopefully I sounded okay, not too talking super-duper fast as I tend to do at times. But we will have Chris back next week for our preview show on Wednesday. And, yeah, everybody, check out the website, mwcconnection.com. And, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.